Chloe and Ethan, thank you for that song. Amen. Amen. I heard them practice that in here that last night when we were setting things up for today. And I knew that would be a blessing. So thank you for sharing that, mom and son. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Amen. Amen. We need to receive his presence into our hearts and our lives today. And it's a privilege to be here again with you in my home church. As I've been here with my father this week and dealing with things at home, I received word from his sister Libby, who lives in Pioneer, California, word of the passing of their younger brother Timothy. He was 69. I'm 59. He's 69. And he passed away in his sleep. A friend found him home in bed, gone. And so it's been a struggle this week to have closure for his life and our family. I've talked to my cousins and his children. And so it's a reminder that life is not permanent until Jesus comes again. Isn't that right? So we long for that day. And so this morning we'll be talking about a solidarity in Christ. I want to be solid with him. How about you? Last Sabbath, of course, we talked about avoiding itching ears. And I want to make a correction from my sermon from last week, because it hit me when I was preaching it, but then I got confused. It happens. And then I was reminded by several of you that when I was preaching from what appeared to be Philippians, it was from 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so I want to reread the passage from last week to remind us about itching ears, but we'll read it from 2 Timothy rather than from Philippians, because Philippians doesn't contain this message. So we read again from the scriptures that Paul writes here from his prison cell, and the words are on the screen. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. In the presence of who? God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. And he's speaking to the young pastor, Timothy. I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to what? Myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship to the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry, Paul writes. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I hope this is your prayer too. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for what? His appearing. The return of Jesus in glory. That day is coming, my friends. And that's why we engage ourselves in evangelism. That's why you're a part of this movement starting tonight with the Mission College team and Evangelist Louis Therese to share with this community and to renew in your hearts this message, which makes not only sense, but which can give us peace. A peace that passes all understanding. John saw in vision, and he writes in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of who? Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And if they were shortly in John's time, they're certainly shortly in our time. Do you believe that? Jesus, our Lord, is coming. And as John looked up and saw his master, Jesus, as I shared with you last week, his first cousin, in glory, he fell at his feet in worship. And so this morning, as I share this message with you concerning the remnant, I pray that you will bow in submission to him who is our Savior and our big brother, Jesus. Let's pray again, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you that we can open the Word of God and that we can look at the Word of God, which is the Word of your Son, Jesus, written to us. And I pray that you would prepare us to be a people that will reflect that relationship that you desire to have with us. Give me the words to speak this morning, Father. Touch each heart that's here and move us closer to him who is our Savior, Jesus. And all God's people said together, amen and amen. I'm going to move to this stool, if you don't mind, and speak to you from this position. I hope this microphone's on. I think I can hear it now. Speak from this seated position as you're seated. I'm so grateful for the Lord and his grace in my personal life. So grateful for his patience with all of us. So grateful that I can walk with those sticks, but oh, I long for that day when Jesus comes and I can throw them away. But all of you have issues that you'd like to throw away. And when Jesus comes, we will toss them in the air. Jesus is our Savior. And as written in Revelation, is something wrong with my mic? You're going to adjust me. These guys are great, aren't they? They keep everything running well. Thank you for that. Your name again was Roy. Okay, thank you so much. That sounds a little bit better. Revelation 12, verse 17. The peak, the chiasm of the book of Revelation, Jesus gives this message to John and the dragon. And who's the dragon? Satan. Was wroth with the woman. Who's the woman? The church. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed. The remnant of her seed being her offspring. He went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of who? Jesus Christ. The remnant. You've heard the term often in your lives. What is the remnant all about? Well, I took a standard dictionary and looked up definition for the word remnant, and it's obvious, but I love how the dictionary gives us this definition. A small remaining quantity of what? Something. A small, notice the word, remaining quantity of something. That word remaining is important. Secondly, the dictionary said a piece of cloth or carpeting left when the greater part has been used or sold. The remnant on the bolt of cloth. I went into the store the other day to ask them if I went to Joann Fabrics. And my dad let me go in there alone. He said, I'm not going in there. Men don't go in there. Well, I said, I'm going to go in there for this reason, because I want a remnant bolt of cloth. And so they helped me get a remnant bolt here. And the remnant on a cloth, as I will illustrate by unwinding this last bit of cloth on this bolt, the remnant, which is the very end of the bolt, you'll notice it here. When was the remnant put onto the bolt? When? When it was first manufactured, when they first wound it up. The remnant, which is the end of the cloth, was put on in the beginning. And so as it's wound, the remnant cloth is there from the very
beginning. And I'll wind this up again, and then we'll continue on. But notice that, to keep that in your minds, that the remnant is put on first, but it's taken off when? Last. Keep that in your mind. Keep that in your thoughts. As you look at a bolt of cloth in a store or by your sewing machine, the last remaining portion, the remnant, was put on first. I looked at some videos online as how they wind those bolts up at the factory. And I have up here a clip from a video, but I'm not going to play it as a video because I couldn't get that stored up. But I'm going to play it to you slow here. You can see the bolt there. You can see the cloth on this machine, and it's going to be wound up onto this bolt, this cardboard bolt. A worker puts the first fold, and then the machine begins to turn. And as it turns, it winds up the cloth until it's completely onto the bolt. But the remnant went on when? First. Remnant, the dictionary says, a small minority of people who will remain faithful to God and so be saved. An allusion to the biblical prophecies concerning Israel. That's what the dictionary said. How true to truth, amen? The remaining faithful at the end of time, but wound up at the beginning. Notice here from Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, these words from the ancient prophet. Who is a God like you? Now notice these words. Pardoning what? Iniquity, which is sin, and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his what? Heritage. Aren't you grateful to know that God is passing over the transgressions of the remnant of God? We who live here at the end of history are the remnant. And God is passing over our transgressions as we will allow Him to grant us cleansing and forgiveness of our sins. Uncle Timothy, who just died here, he was an interesting character. It's not surprising that he died at 69. He was over 400 pounds. I think his heart gave out. Timothy grew and became a Seventh-day Adventist young person, went to academy, went to evangelistic efforts, and sat on the front row and knew the Scripture and loved the Scripture. But as he grew in life, he got rebellious. He went to university. He married a lady who was Jewish. Became Jewish by faith, and later a Unitarian, which is kind of anything goes. Later an Episcopalian, and finally a generic church, and now he's Catholic, or he was Catholic. But he still knew in his heart there were truths that, even though he was rebellious towards, maybe he should remember them. I can't be my Uncle Timothy's judge. Only God can, praise the Lord. But in his wandering years, oh, I pray that he gave his heart back and was part of the remnant. Only the final resurrection will tell us the truth. But I call to you here today, and I call to me to here today, that we would be the remnant of God who holds to the faith of Jesus. He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in what? Mercy. Oh, I love those words of the gospel out of the Old Testament. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our what? Iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. How deep is the sea? Almost immeasurable. We were at Crater Lake here this last week, And my daughter asked me, how deep is that lake, Daddy? I says, it's very deep. It's 1,900 feet, they tell us, at the deepest portion. It's not quite a mile, but it's deep. The ocean, though, is miles deep. And we can fly at 30,000 feet above the atmosphere. We're miles above the earth. The sea is miles below the earth. And our God wants to cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Is that not good news? And oh, that I would have him cast my sins into the depths of the sea and not my soul. Oh, we have a gracious God, a gracious Savior. Who is the remnant of God? Well, in the beginning, the first remnant that were first wound onto the bolt were Adam and Eve, our ancient ancestors. Yet they did sin. They were the first to sin on this planet. Satan tempted, deceived Eve. Adam succumbed. And we as mankind have fallen into sin. But they were the very first remnant because they put their faith in him by the sacrifice of a lamb. Notice the remnant of God. I think about Enoch. Enoch, who walked with God some 300 years, and then God took him to his presence. And Enoch has been in the presence of God for almost 6,000 years, maybe 5,000 something. I love that vision that Ellen White wrote in Early Writings. She says, they were traveling through the space and through the planets. And she said, we came upon a planet and there was good old Enoch. And she interviewed him. Good old Enoch. I love that. Good old Enoch has been participating and watching the plan of salvation for many millenniums. Notice who's wound up in the beginning bolt of the remnant. We have Noah. And last week I called Noah accidentally Moses, but it's Noah. Noah preached righteousness, that people would come into the ark, and he is wound up in the beginning of the bolt with the remnant of God. Notice the beginning of the remnant on that bolt. We have Father Abraham, who was called faithful, who waited until he was over 100 for his firstborn son to be born. Abraham wasn't always perfect. He lied several times to two pharaohs. Same lie, same wife. He showed doubt and discouragement at times, but he was called the faithful. And we'll look at that again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We find wound up the beginning of that bolt, of course, Moses. Moses, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt, across that sea that parted, and as they crossed over and they came to the mountain of God, there he received the commandments of God and gave them to his people and to us also who are in this generation. Moses wasn't always perfect. Moses had faults and had sins in his life. In fact, he was not even allowed to go into the promised land because of his temper. Anybody here have tempers? Anybody here ever get road rage? Oh my word, I have to confess. I have to call myself. My wife will say, Lynn, calm down. Just be glad they're ahead of you and not behind you. Jerk, you know. The Bible says, call no man a fool. By the way, the word jerk means a fool. So I shouldn't call somebody a jerk. Moses had a temper. He was not allowed to go into the promised land of Canaan, but to his benefit, once the children of Israel crossed over into Canaan, Michael, the archangel, the Savior of the world, wrestled with Satan over the body of Moses. And we know from the story of the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah appeared with the Savior on the Mount, that Moses was resurrected and taken into the final Canaan ahead of us. By the way, you and Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus there on that Mount of Transfiguration. They were speaking to him of his upcoming decease or his death. I asked my church in McMinnville, what was Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus about? What were they talking about? And one of my members came a bit up with this way. He said, they were talking about the fact, Jesus, we want you to go through with this plan that you and the Father came up with eons ago. Please go through with it. Die on the cross. Resurrect. Be the conqueror, the victor over death. Because we're only here in heaven on credit. If you fail to bring on this fulfillment of the payment, we'll have to go back to earth and die for eternity. Please, trust your Father. They were there in heaven on credit, but now they're there on his payment, which was the cross. And we, too, will be able to be there in the kingdom upon his payment of the debt there on the cross. Can you say amen to that? Moses was part of the remnant on that bolt. David, the young man anointed by Samuel the prophet to be the king of Israel, is wound up in the remnant on that bolt. David wasn't perfect. David had many sins on his record. But God called him a man after my own heart because David knew how to confess his sins and repent and turn away. And Jesus, our Savior, called himself the Son of David. Wow. That's who's wound up on that bolt is the remnant. And Jesus' disciples, who he laid hands on, who he appointed to be apostles, they weren't perfect. They argued, they bickered among themselves. Peter denied his master. They all fled at the cross. But these are part of the remnant on the bolt. And they watched their Savior ascend into heaven. And they testified. And all 11 of the original 12 suffered pain, torture, and most of them death because of their testimony of Jesus. John was the only one who didn't experience persecution through death, although he was boiled alive in oil. I think about Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who survived the fiery furnace. John survived that boiling oil as a miraculous demonstration and testimony to the power of a living God. I wonder what his skin was like when he came out of that pot. Was it soft? Was it oily? I don't know. It must have been the best oil of Olay, huh? There in Rome, there is a chapel called Chapel of Oil. They claim by tradition that this was the place where John was boiled. And he died an old man in Ephesus, leaving his testimony behind that he wrote in the book of Revelation, which you're going to be studying through with Louis Therese over these next few weeks. What a Savior, what a God. The revelation of Jesus Christ, written here now, Revelation 12, 17. We read this earlier, but we'll read it again. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Those which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You and I have the privilege of being part of the remnant on this bolt of cloth. It started to come off the bolt there. We have a privilege of being part of that remnant on this bolt. And I picked the color red because it symbolizes the blood of Jesus to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. How many of you desire to be on the remnant bolt? Raise your hands. You can have that privilege today. Just raise your hands. Let Jesus know that he can write your name in the book of life and wound you up with the remnant. It's not too late to be part of the remnant of God. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12 through 17, we read these words, "I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Is that good news? We will lie with the flocks, with the herds, with the predators of earth in heaven. This last week, my daughter and I and my wife and my dad, we went out to Wildlife Safari, which everybody has to go to Wildlife Safari when you're in Douglas County, right? And we saw the beautiful lions there in that lion caged area. Why are they caged? Because they're ferocious. And they are dangerous if you're left with them alone. We were at the Portland Zoo, saw a female lioness with the parts of an animal hanging out of her mouth. But in the kingdom of God, we will lie down with the lion. And they will be like tame kitty cats, except much larger. That's the promise. That's the promise of the day that is coming. Zephaniah continues, "Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel, and be glad and rejoice with all your what? Heart. O daughter of Jerusalem, the Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more." Is that good news? You'll see no COVID again. Oh boy. You'll see no storms again. "In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with what? Gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Zephaniah 3. Did you know that the Lord sings? Did you know the Lord will sing over his people? I can hardly wait to hear him sing over us. Can you imagine his voice? Gloriously sounding like the rushing waters, echoing across the plain. When I married Debbie 31 years ago this July, I sang to her there before the minister pronounced us husband and wife. I sang over her with joy. "I cherish the treasure of you, lifelong companion. I give myself to you." As I sang those words, the love radiated out of my heart. Well, our Savior is going to sing over his bride when we reach his presence in heaven. What a day of glory that will be to hear Jesus, our Savior, sing, "I cherish the treasure of you." Do you desire that day? I do. I long for that day to be here sooner than ever. Jesus, our Savior. Revelation 19, verses 9 and 10. "Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Louis Torres, for these next several weeks, is going to be speaking about prophecy as found in the Scriptures. He's going to have that spirit of prophecy which the Lord gives to his evangelists, which he gives to his people to share the news of salvation, that there is good news in Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful also that God gave to the Adventist Church the spirit of prophecy through the ministry and the life of Ellen White. What a gift! What a joy! Revelation 14, that three angels' message, which sounds in an era of COVID virus, proclaiming first of all that the hour of his judgment has what? Come. And the second angel, that Babylon is fallen. And the third angel, that the warning of not receiving the mark of the beast. We need to listen to that message. We need to proclaim that message because it's the best sounding message given to the world at this time. Jesus, the author of Revelation, and also the author of life, said these words in John 15, "Abide in me, and I in what? You. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you what? Abide in me." The fruit grows on the vine because it abides into the vine. Across from my father's house there on Garden Valley Road, there's a vineyard. Used to be a cow pasture when I was a kid. Now it's a vineyard. They said it was $10 million to put that vineyard in. It's got fans, it's got lights, it's got temperature control. It's a beautiful vineyard. God wants us to abide in him, the vine. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do what? Nothing. Oh, remnant of God, abide in him. I took this picture at the doll's house this last week. Dan invited us to their home and he showed me this vine of grapes that's on their front porch. I want you to notice in the center of that picture is the main vine. It's the size of a tree trunk. And that vine supports all the other tentacles that go out across the front of the doll's house of those Himrod grapes. I could not believe the size of that trunk, that vine. Jesus is the vine. And we are the branches. Unless we remain in him, we will die. But if we will remain in him, we will live and produce fruit. And that's what you're going to be doing over the next few weeks. Producing fruit. Bringing people to the kingdom of God. To be a part of that great multitude written about by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 11. I love this chapter. I love this section of the book of Hebrews, calling us to be a part of a multitude that is faithful to God and who's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews 11, by faith, it writes over and over and over, by faith, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, a prostitute, and Samson, a very unfaithful judge, written in the book of Hebrews as a part of the testimony of the faithful. You may have wandered from God. You may have left him in your past, but my friends, you can be wound up with the remnant because God is willing to provide forgiveness and cleansing of our sins. Can you say amen to that? Therefore, as it goes on in chapter 12 of Hebrews, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the author, and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If you desire to be wound in there with the remnant, then look to Jesus, our Savior, our coming King. And then we can be a part of that host of the faithful, written there in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to sing a song before I give the last story of today's appeal. Listen to the song and then listen to the appeal and desire to be part of God's remnant.
Pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who come behind us, let us leave to those behind us a heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children, they sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Jesus is looking for people to wind up with the remnant. He is preparing a cloud of witnesses to give us courage. Jesus went looking for a woman in Samaria to wind her up with the faithful of God, with the remnant of God. A woman who'd been married to 5 different men, and the man she was with was not her husband. He went there purposefully at noon of the day, the heat of the day, to find her by that well when nobody else would be there. And when he revealed himself to her, joy flooded her heart. And she recognized that he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And she rejoiced. She said, "This man knows everything about me." And she rejoiced and shared her testimony with her village there in Samaria. Oh, what a Savior we serve. Oh, what a Savior that wants to give you the joy of salvation. Jesus is coming sooner than we might imagine. He is coming very, very soon. Will you allow him to write your name with the remnant? It's possible. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of Scripture, for the word of Jesus, that you want to wind us up with the remnant of God. Fill our cups, Lord. Fill our cups even as you filled the woman there by the well of Samaria with her heart that was empty and needed your presence. Fill our cups, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. And all God's people said together, amen. Nancy, come and lead us in our closing song. Number 493, Fill My Cup, Lord.
Life for woman and well, I'm the same.
the giver of life. Fill our cups and make us whole. In Jesus we pray. Amen.